New York Toy Fair, BotCon Drag Strip, Transformers Prime Toys First Look. This is Geek Existence Transformers.
Now, all we need is a little energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geek Existence Transformers.
I be your host, Peg Peg Fearful, and with me be...
Spooky Grabbit Calibatron.
I'm going to say, I remember when I first got into collecting.
Predacons, terrorize!
Hello out there in listener land, and welcome yet again to another episode of Geek Existence Transformers, episode 14, recorded February 13th, 2011. Your hosts, as usual for this episode, are myself, WeirdWolf1975, and...
Insane Galvatron.
Well, I guess this is take two. We had actually recorded on Thursday, we normally do, but Audacity had other ideas, and after we got done recording, Greg had a little mishap.
Yes, as soon as I pressed the stop button, I got this program has caused an error and needs to be closed, and there was no recovering the audio files. It was gone.
Fail.
Yeah, so we have some backups in place. We're doing a third-party recording. Batosa30 actually is recording on his end through Skype, so we have a backup in case it does it again.
A backup of a backup.
Yes. Well, what happens, I normally record on my laptop. And I was starting to have some issues with the connector where I plug my headphones in. And my volume was kind of going up and down because the mic wasn't connecting good. I could just barely jiggle the cord or just move, and it would, cause my audio to drop. So I moved to my desktop computer, and I had actually just installed Audacity for the recording this week because I didn't have it on this computer yet. And that was our first real recording on it, and something went wrong.
So your microphone headset was a whole lot like your toilet. You had to go jiggle the handle and get it to work.
Well, actually, jiggling the handle is what caused it not to work.
Yes. But anyway, we're back again for another record, and looks like we're a little bit fortunate, too. We was going to probably have to do like a supplemental or something, but we're just going to include it all in this podcast. We had actually recorded in our first recording a segment on knockoffs. But we'll save that for another day because the New York Toy Fair happened this weekend, and we got revealed quite a bit of new stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff that we had seen through stolen toys that had turned up on the internet here and there. We got to see official pictures of those things as well as lots of stuff that had not leaked yet. So it was, a lot of good stuff coming out this week.
This, stuff like this really makes me excited for BotCon because, there's still going to be some cool stuff revealed then. I'm really excited to see what's revealed then. I think they'll probably leave a lot of the generations and reveal the shield or something other to be unveiled then.
Yeah, well, I think reveal the shield is going to go away. It'll be replaced by the Dark of the Moon line. But Generations, we got confirmation, is also going to be running alongside the movie line. So the stuff for us collectors will still be out there. And I agree. I think most of our Generations reveals will come at BotCon.
Yeah.
They got to save something for their official convention.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of exciting, too. I mean, there's some really cool stuff that was revealed this weekend and just more this coming summer,
Yeah, well, I think what happens is, Toy Fair is more aimed at, for retailers. Like, well, here's all the exciting stuff we want to have out, that we want to be shipping you guys to carry, this year. And so they're going to focus more on the mainline stuff as far as for the general public, which is why it'll be a lot of the movie toys. Whereas, BotCon is a convention for collectors, so that's where they're going to focus more on the collector-oriented stuff like Generations. So it kind of makes sense just from a marketing standpoint because of what Toy Fair is versus what BotCon is, that this would be mostly movie toys and BotCon will be mostly Generations.
Yeah. Speaking of... commercial stuff or commercial releases and everything. We'll kind of move to the television commercials. Did you see any of the Transformer commercials for the movie or anything? Yeah, during the Super Bowl? You read my mind.
Yes, I did. I saw there were only two to my knowledge. The first one that came up was the trailer for Dark of the Moon, which, aside from the teaser, this was the first, we really got to see. And it looked pretty awesome. You had, Optimus Prime with a jetpack. flying in, you know, landing, and, you know, just tearing up some Decepticons, much like he, you know, they think they had the Fallen's face on their chest the way he was ripping through them. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty intense, typical Michael Bay fashion with, you know, fast moving, you know, the cutscenes. It didn't really leave you on one scene long enough to see much because the camera angles kept cutting around. But the shaky cam wasn't as bad though. When the scenes were there, the camera was pretty steady, which will be a welcome relief. I hope it's, you know, that way through the whole movie.
I do too. I mean, that's a typical Michael Bay standard fare thing that he does with the shaky cam. And I understand it's his signature, but at the same time, I'm not real keen on it. So, I'll be happy to see a little reduction in that if by chance that is the case.
You know, well, I think his reasoning is it's supposed to simulate you actually being there. Because if you're in the situation, you get giant robots stomping around, you're going to be shaking around a little bit. So shaky cam makes you feel like you're getting shaken around. But personally, I'd rather they just hold the camera still and have the actors all shake around. You know, because we need to see what's going on because we're just an outside party. You know, we're on the other side of the fourth wall. You know, we shouldn't be feeling it. We just want to see what they're feeling.
Yeah. Well, I did see the other commercial that was somewhat Transformer related, the Chevy commercial that involved Bumblebee. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I laughed pretty hard at that one. For those who haven't seen it, a quick description: it's a dealership commercial for like a Chevrolet dealership, but it looks more like one of those local car lot commercials. They're talking about having their big post Super Bowl sale. Come on down. The guy catches a football, and then the mascot comes out with a hammer, starts smashing the hood of this yellow Camaro. Which turns out to be Bumblebee, and he's not very happy about being hit with a hammer.
Yeah, that was so hilarious. I mean, it's like you were saying that, and you're like, that car kind of looks like Bumblebee, and the next thing you know, it transforms and then takes a mascot and flings him up into that box thing.
Yeah, he seemed to land on a table full of balloons or something. I don't know.
It just happened so quickly, but it, at any rate, it was pretty funny. Before we get off on our other stuff here, wanted to mention that we now have a Twitter account. You can go to twitter.com/geekexistence and follow us on there. We're going to be updating it quite regularly. Matter of fact, as we record the podcast, I post a few things on it from time to time. I did so the other night, and you can follow us on there, and anything new and up to date will probably be posted on there first. So go ahead and check it out at twitter.com/geekexistence.
I have a Twitter account too that I've been trying to be more active on. If you want to follow me personally, it's just, you know, at Insane Galvatron. It's all one word, and I'm going to be posting some stuff over the next few weeks, hopefully. Got some big stuff going on, Transformer related, kind of on the personal side, and first look at some things will be popping up on my Twitter account. So if you follow me, you just may get some surprises.
Yeah, definitely. Also, we'd like to have some listener questions. I know we have a little bumper for it in the end of the show, but a lot of people may tend to just end the show right whenever we say goodbye, everybody, and everything. But just wanted to remind people that we'd really like to hear some listener questions, but via email or you can post it on the forums, whatever you like. And if you send it in audio format, we will possibly use it here on the podcast. And we'd love to hear from you. You can send your questions via email if you'd like to geekexistence@gmail.com, or you can post it on the Facebook or the Twitter account. If you follow us, you can send us a direct message on Twitter, or reply to us on Facebook. So we'd really like to hear from you. So get those questions in, and we'd really like to start answering your questions.
Now it's time for Out My Wallet.
All right, this week I actually got some stuff I mentioned last week. I know last week I mentioned I got a couple things from Hasbro Toy Shop, but I hadn't opened them yet because I'd had a busy week. And I had a couple more things coming. What I had received was the Reveal the Shield, G2 Prime, Bumblebee, Perceptor, and Retgar, I think it was. And I was still expecting my Cup and Three Scourges. So they all came like the day after the podcast, and you know, then I got to opening them all up, messing with them all. All I can say is Scourge is awesome. A couple things that aren't listed in the instructions, everybody picks this guy up. The instructions show just his plane wings still just sticking straight out the sides. There's very obviously an easy to see hinge to kind of fold them back, you know, to offset them from the rest of the body so they can tilt down. There's also a swivel so you can tilt them down. Another thing that I discovered that's not in the instructions is you can open the wings, which it shows you to open them for weapon storage. But if you open them up and tilt them forward, it gives him more of a cape look, you know, which suits fits the G1 look from the cartoon a whole lot more than just wings angled down. So, you know, a lot of people are displaying him that way, even though it's not really in the instructions. And something else that's not in the instructions, because people had noticed that Scourge is a little short when you stand him next to Cyclonus. Well, there's actually an extra step where you can grab his head and, like, his whole neck in his torso pulls up a click. Gives him a little more height, makes him a little more even with Scourge or with Cyclonus. And that is not documented anywhere. Just somebody happened to find it, post a picture online, and I saw it. Grabbed my guy, you know, grabbed him by the head, had to pull a little hard because it's a little stiff, but it popped right up. And now he's.
You know what you could do there, whenever you are you troop building with him and making the sweeps as well?
Yes, that's why I have three of them.
Here's what I will do whenever I get my Scourge and the sweeps. I'm going to give Scourge my other Cyclonus's target master. That way I have a regular Cyclonus and a target master Cyclonus. Hopefully the Scourge weapon will peg into Cyclonus's fist. But then you can take that Scourge, that little last bit of transformation that you said there, make him a little bit taller and make the sweeps a little bit shorter.
Yeah, leave the head down on the sweeps. That could be doable.
Yeah. I mean, that's an idea. I mean, kind of differentiate them a little bit.
Yeah. On the other, just real quickly, Perceptor, he's pretty cool. I followed the directions because usually I just transformer without the instructions. You know, I like the challenge of figuring it out. And you and I had been talking, you know, just on the phone last week. And, you know, we'd heard a lot about Rekgar having a lot of, you know, fragile pieces and things easily breaking. And so you mentioned you always use the instructions the first time, not because you can't figure it out, but because you just want to make sure you don't break something. So I took your advice, transform Perceptor using the instructions, and they have you pull his legs down while they're still snapped together. The problem is when you do that, the tabs on the doors will catch on his back. And, you know, and it caused stress marks on the post that the door is on because the door swings down over to his legs and clips into the half track. So I have a stress mark there because it caught on the body, which if I had separated the legs and then pulled it down one at a time, that would have probably been avoided. But it's no big deal. It's kind of a hidden post. It didn't actually break. It just has a stress mark, and you have to be looking for it to see it because it's not really visible in either mode. But I came up with a fan mode because, you know, I mean, yeah, it looks good as a half track, but to me, Perceptor's a microscope. I just can't see him as a truck. He just doesn't look right. So I kind of, you know, fan wanked together a microscope mode. It's passable. It doesn't look that great, but it, you know, looks better than the truck in my opinion. It looks like something you'd see in a laboratory, this, you know, microscope the size of a desk kind of thing. So that if you're listening to the Enhanced podcast, you should see a picture of that for this chapter. And I'm happy to report that my Rekgar does not have any of the problems that people have been reporting. Both shoulders have been reported to have a lot of stress marks because the pin that they put into the shoulder was, you know, I guess a little too large, or the hole in the plastic was too small. Both my shoulders look perfect. I took the advice on transforming the leg with the front of the motorcycle. So you just push up on the headlight and let the handlebars kind of auto-transform, because some people have been breaking those trying to transform them. It was a little tight, but it you know, the handlebars were rubber. And I just finally just pushed it, and it went, and no problem. Yeah, the only issue I had that a lot of other people had was stress mark putting the axe into the hand. I didn't the first time I did it, but then the second time I did it, it gave him a stress mark. But it's just a mark on the inside of the hand. It doesn't look like the plastic's in any danger of actually breaking. It's just, if you know it's there, you can see it. But if you got something in his hand, you can't see it, so it doesn't matter. And that's pretty much my review of everything I got this week. We'll just keep it kind of short and sweet because we got a lot of Toy Fair stuff. So
yeah, I'll try to keep mine as short and sweet as possible, too. I won't go into a big story like I usually do about how I got some of the stuff, but I'll do my non-transformer stuff right off the bat. I got some Master of the Universe 2002 figures about a week or so ago, or, well, after our last podcast, and I picked up Triclops and Stratos. Stratos, with the pure intention the next time I see Scott McNeil again, getting him to autograph it, because he did the voice for the character on the show. I think it'd be really cool to have another figure signed by him. I already have a Dinobot signed by him. I think that would be really cool. And then I know you heard me mention a couple weeks ago that I've been looking to get some Masters of the Universe Classics, the new line that's out. Mm-hmm. I picked up Masters of the Universe Classics He-Man, the first release, for a good deal of $25. I know that they're available only on Matty Collector at first. You can't get them in retail stores. They were so the demand was so high for the first release of the Classic He-Man. And kind of a little backtrack here. What makes the Classics different from the regular He-Man stuff is that they're classic style characters with articulated hips and wrists and elbow joints and knee joints and stuff like that. They're not just a typical arms, legs, neck, and waist articulation. But anyway, the first release He-Man came and went rather quickly. And then they reissued the first release He-Man with a slightly different color scheme or deco. And it drove the price of it down a little bit of the first release one. First release one was going for about $70 to $80.
How much were they originally on the website?
About $25-$30, about what I paid for it. The place where I got this said that they had actually sold it to a guy on eBay, and the auction ended for somewhere between $70 and $80, and he bid them, and so thus it came to be on the store shelf, and I saw it, and I'm like, hey, I'd really like to have that. I'll give you $25 for it. And they're like, okay. So I got that. And
normally I don't like deadbeat bidders, but when they cause me to get a toy I want, yay, deadbeat bidders.
Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of rushing here, but there's no really no reason for me to be doing so, other than to get on to the exciting stuff. But I got some Reveal the Shield stuff from Hasbro Toy Shop also. I got my Reveal the Shield Bumblebee. It's still sealed, but I'm probably going to open it pretty soon. I've got a kind of a comic that I've got in mind to use it for. And I also got my Reveal the Shield G2 Prime. And I quite like it, although it did have quite a disappointing paint splotch on the side of the face when I opened it up. The silver from that they use on the face mask actually got blobbed on his visor, and I used a little bit of rubbing alcohol and a Q-tip, and I was able to take the biggest part of it off. You can't really tell a whole lot of it's on there. I mean, there's some in the in a couple little crevices that I couldn't get to. But
you said it was on his visor, like where his eyes are?
Yeah, it was like on the side of his face. Not to be gross, but it kind of looked like a bird had crapped on the side of his face.
So you kind of did a little robo-visine there, cleaned out his eyes?
Yeah, cleaned out his eyes a little bit. But he's pretty cool. I kind of have a fan mode for him. I know his wheels kind of like to recess back in his legs. And it's quite obvious that they're meant to do that, but I just don't prefer the way they look that way. I'm much like how they look more out to the side of the leg. They kind of give it more of a vintage classic look, and also do his flaps on the back of his legs differently while he's in truck mode. Kind of cover up that big ugly sword that kind of sticks down in there and makes his fifth wheel up. But he's really cool. And I highly recommend him to anybody. My last item that I got quickly, I got G2 Auto Roller Roadblock Mint on Sealed Card. And I know you already know how much I paid for it, but I'll make you guess again, Greg.
I don't know, $5.
Oh, come on. Don't make me slap you.
$10.
$10, yeah. $10 for G2 Auto Roller Roadblock Mint on Sealed Card. It's never been opened.
Amazing.
And it was released in, what, 95? So it's at least 15, 16 years old now. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it was probably more than $10 when it was new.
Yeah, I think it was about a $15 toy when it was new. I could be wrong. I mean, with inflation and everything, it could have been about a $10 toy then.
I'm thinking it was at least like a deluxe size figure, so it would have been around 10.
Yeah.
Somebody correct us in the thread if we're wrong.
Yeah. But that was pretty much what I got last week. And unless you have anything else you want to add to what I got.
Well, just on Bumblebee, I would like to say that I thought what was strange is that they released yet another Bumblebee. This makes the fourth Classics Bumblebee I have. And I'm not counting Cliffjumper. I mean actual Bumblebees. Because I had the first release that had the white on it. And then there was the Evolution of Bumblebee 3-pack that was a Walmart exclusive that was the same paint scheme, only with black instead of white. And then I had the Henkei version, which was more just plain yellow with some random gold chrome. And now this one with the black stripes like movie Bumblebee. And, you know, I would just like somebody to release one in just plain yellow with a couple of black highlights and leave it at that. You know, why does he always have to have all these stripes? G1 Bumblebee did not have stripes. I have four versions of the toy, and none of them are ideal for the way I'd like it to be. So,
although I think this is the closest that I've seen them get to it, though. The twin black stripes aren't as intrusive as that big white patch on the back of the car that
right,
was in the
I
first
agree.
Release. You know, who knows? Maybe the reason that they're releasing Bumblebee again is because they're really starting to push for more of the classic characters. I know we'll get into it a little bit later with like Power Glide. You know, we're going to get another figure of him. And we just had a Universe Power Glide in the last year and a half.
Yeah, he was too big, though. So they listened to the fans. We were complaining that Power Glide was too big. He was a mini bot. You know,
yeah.
Regardless of the size of that plane in relation to cars, we want our Power Glide small.
Well, using that same argument, I mean, they did release a lot of MicroMasters as Ultras.
Yeah, and I didn't buy any of them.
Yeah, you did. You bought Skyfall. Well, it's not Skyfall, but...
Skyfall was a Cyberjet homage.
Yeah, brain fart. I was thinking it was a MicroMaster, but yeah, he's a G2. My bad. But... moving on, we were going to do a eBay item of the week this week. We had actually recorded a segment for this in our last podcast, but in the first recording of this, but the auction has since closed, and since it's closed and in the interest of time, we will not do a eBay item of the week this week. It was a vintage knockoff Grimlock.
And I think the other reason we decided not to nix it, besides the auction being closed now, is also the fact that, you know, our theme was knockoffs, so it kind of fit. But now that we're doing Toy Fair instead of knockoffs, it really kind of wouldn't fit in anymore.
Yeah. So we'll move on to our Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Shocking. Weird. Or downright crazy. However you describe it, it's time now for Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
All right, our Whiskey Tango Foxtrot this week is an item by Takara Tomy. Now, it's not actually a Transformers item, but since Takara Tomy makes Transformers in Japan, and they have a huge role in the designing and engineering, you know, we'll let this kind of squeeze in here since it's their product. But I'm going to read the headline of the article that we saw on Engadget. Takara Tomy's Ninjangaki musical toy lets you smack your friends to the beat. And the photo is a screen cap from the video that they have where, you know, one Japanese girl is slapping a Japanese girl on the face. And it's kind of hilarious. But what it actually is, it's a toy that has these four electrodes on it, and you hold one and your friend holds the other. And anytime you make contact with the other person, it completes the circuit and you'll have different tones. And depending on which two things you're holding, what kind of noise it'll make, you know, however long you make contact, you know, you can stretch out the tone longer or shorter, and it'll do musical beats. And it's just quite interesting because the video shows it's more of a touching thing, but the article says you smack them, and that's just funnier. That made me say, you know, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah, with the musical touching and everything, I mean, you can gently touch, you can slap, you can tap, you can hold. It's kind of funny, yet cool how it works. I'm sure it uses since the entire video that we saw for it was in Japanese, I really couldn't understand any of it since I don't speak Japanese. But from what I gathered, it uses electrical current, I was supposed to kind of detect when you're touching the other person.
Yeah, I think it might have – when I watched it, I think it has subtitles, and I was trying to read them as I went, but it was kind of hard not to be distracted by the two Japanese girls laying their hands all over each other.
But
yeah, it's something about electrical current.
Something along those lines.
I mean, you got to wonder, though. I mean, how healthy is that? I mean, how much electrical current are we talking?
Probably not much. I mean, there's already electrical current within the human body. I mean,
okay.
That's
I can just see this being a lawsuit waiting to happen in the United States. Somebody gets electrocuted.
Yeah, I don't think there's much of a danger of it, though. But the Ninigangaki, you can check it out on. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. It's kind of funny and cool at the same time, but you know, it falls under the category of those little weird, quirky Japanese things that that only really appeal to the Japanese market. But it'll definitely make a Westerner like you and I look at it and go, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Pigtail, preparing to rid the Japanicon. It's the Cybertron Nightly News.
The first item of business that we have here this past week, it was revealed to us. I wish I could talk tonight. It would be really helpful. BotCon 2011, the third figure that will be that was revealed was animated Stunicon drag strip, and I guess you could really say it was drag strip of sorts.
Yeah, it's a kind of out of left field. I wasn't expecting this, but it kind of fits as far as the car mode. They used the animated RC repainted in drag strip colors with the same head. They just changed up the paint scheme enough that it doesn't look that much like RC. Of course, after seeing those pictures and then looking at the original RC, I could kind of see that even the original RC didn't look that much like RC as far as the head sculpt. They just did clever paint apps, you know, to kind of favor her a little. But, you know, she doesn't. Just kind of has some styling cues of RC, not a dead-on RC head, as far as Generation 1 RC. But yeah, all the jokes, it was funny watching the reveal on this. You had all the jokes talking about, oh, okay, it's drag strip, and it's a female, so it's actually, you know, still a male character. He just likes the way a female chassis feels, so he likes to wear it. But then, you know, BotCon quickly put out some tweets that, no, it's, in fact, in this universe, a female character. Which is not unusual. Red Alert, who was a male character in Generation 1, was a female in the cartoon for animated. So it wouldn't be the first time we've had some transgender Transformers where they, you know, switched gender. But, yeah, it's funny watching all the nerd rage because, you know, all the Stunticons are supposed to be male, all five of them.
I really don't mind it myself. I mean, this figure, the animated RC mold in the drag strip colors, it really pops. I mean, the head works for it. The yellow with the red accents and the black, I think it really, really works for this figure.
Well, what I like about it is not only does it work as a drag strip homage, but it kind of homages the bride from Kill Bill movies, which was Uma Thurman, you know, because she had the white costume, the yellow costume with the black. Of course, the red accents were blood, but you know, you really kind of get that vibe from this because RC has two swords, and she's mostly yellow and black with some red accents, and I think they're kind of going that direction with the bio on her. they one of BotCon's tweets or something to the effect of, hey, you don't like the name, don't make me drag you into the street and strip you down to your circuit boards. So it's kind of a it's kind of like they're taking her character and moving it towards the Kill Bill Bride character, which is perfect for StunnaCon because they're supposed to be wild and crazy anyway.
Yeah, I'd say next week we'll probably see the StunnaCon Wild Rider, and I'm really looking forward to that one. But out of all the five StunnaCons, aside from Motormaster, this is the one that I really wanted to see. And, you know, I was hoping it would be locked down for different reasons, various reasons, actually. But seeing it for the sheer shock value of being the animated RC mold, a feminine Transformer mold, at first I'm like, come on. And then the more I looked at it, I'm like, you know what? It kind of works. I like it, you know, and it was one of those things that it shocked me at first, but I accepted it. I was kind of half expecting it anyway.
Because there really aren't that many sporty cars in the animated line, so it was kind of slim pickings. You almost had to guarantee she's going to be in there somewhere.
Well, I think the fan rage will really hit the roof if by chance Wild Rider somehow turns out to be the Bumblebee mold.
Oh, yeah, that
would
be worse. I don't
think it will be, but if it does, then they'll be like, okay, first you use a female StunnaCon, make a female StunnaCon, and then you make a StunnaCon that's not even a sports car. I think the fan rage will hit the roof then.
Because at least RC is a sports car, so she fits the theme.
Yeah.
It kind of brings a whole new meaning to when they, you know, merge to form Minasaur now, because you get the female in there. Is it like awkward moment between Motormaster and Dragstrip now? Like, hey, I'm going to have to stick my in your please don't take this the wrong way. That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be sued for sexual harassment here, but we got to kind of do this. We can move up on the Autobots.
But see, the thing is, so Dragstrip would have to have a connection post.
Oh, so it is a drag strip.
Yeah.
The claims of being female are just that, claims.
And not unless Motormaster has an extra connection post, and he connects that way, and then that would make Motormaster a pure freak.
But yeah, because then you got all the other StunnaCons. And if that's the way it works, that the male connector posts are on Motormaster, then the other male limb members are kind of some memories of prison there. Oh, no, wait, that was the Combaticons that were in prison, weren't they? My bad. Well, you remember it, G1.
Before this podcast degrades anymore, I think we need to move on.
Yeah, I can make tons and tons of jokes.
Transformers Prime. Transformers Prime, we actually were thrown a curveball this week.
I wasn't expecting to see these toys. I'm not sure exactly which curveball you're referring to, so I'll let you finish that out.
Well, we were thrown a curveball in that we knew we were going to eventually get toys, but we just didn't know we would be seeing them this soon.
Yeah.
Especially, with Reveal the Shield, Generations, Dark of the Moon, where were they going to fit these toys? Apparently, they're going to have their own label as well. I was reading this afternoon in a press release that somebody had interviewed somebody from Hasbro, and I think Aaron Archer himself actually said that they intend to put the Transformer Prime toys under their own label. So they will be under Transformers Prime.
I would have been willing to bet they were going to be in the Generations line since they were all deluxes, but that's good news for that RT listing we had then.
Yeah, that is good news. That sheds a new light on that. I know we speculated in our first recording that is this Generations RC? Is it going to be RC from Transformers Prime, or is it going to be a G1 homage? And I think this pretty much sheds light on that it'll be
most likely
RC from G1. If you want to talk about it a little bit more here, I'll try to look up the press release if I can.
Okay. Yeah, because something I remember I had. In the first recording, I had forgotten about it. I was thinking that RC was the only one we saw in the Generations line as far as a listing for that name, given the Prime toys that were revealed. But then since then, over the weekend, I read a post where somebody had commented on remembering there was a deluxe Starscream listed in there as well. not under the movie line, but under the Generations line. And, you know, early speculation was, okay, we're getting our G1 RC, and then maybe this new Starscream will be the War for Cybertron mold. That's what people were hoping for. And, you know, of course, then we got thinking, well, if the Transformers Prime toys come out, maybe it would be the Prime Starscream. But if they've got their own label, then that still holds hope for the War for Cybertron Seeker mold.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'm still looking.
Well, I'll go real quick. The toys that were revealed, we have three deluxes that were shown. It was the Bumblebee, RC, and Starscream. They all look awesome, in my opinion. I mean, they match the computer models very well. I remember we had discussed RC when we were first, you know, contemplating the toys, and we were thinking about them. You know, a lot of people were talking about they don't see any way RC could make a robot and everything be proportionate like in the cartoon, because people thought things were out of proportion with herself. There's no way that robot with those wheels, the size they are on her robot mode, could fit a proportionate motorbike. And I remember saying that I could totally see it. You know, you could have some, you know, collapsing joints and the way things fold up. I could totally see that working out. And turns out I was right. I mean, RC, she's proportionate in both modes. The wheels aren't overly large in robot mode, and they're not overly small in bike mode. I mean, it all – the transformation may not be exactly how I imagine it, but it looks to be pretty close. And yeah, it's, she's – I mean, she's proportionate all the way around. Starscream is also looked interesting. He's a nice-looking jet. Yeah, I mirror your comments earlier that you thought he looked like he may have a flip changer type gimmick, or at least – he has the same engineering as your flip changer toys.
Yeah.
He doesn't look to have too much undercarriage kibble either. He looks to be pretty well engineered. And Bumblebee is what you expect. He's Bumblebee. It's pretty much take the movie design and simplify it a little bit. You know, very similar transformation, it appears. So not really a whole lot of surprising stuff there, except he's a little bulkier and muscular looking than you would expect.
I hate to interject here, but I found the article here. Hold on. I mean, ASM Magazine, Hasbro Tidbits, they spoke, Matthew Greenbaum, a ASM reporter, spoke with Hasbro, and I'll briefly skim over it here. I guess it's Aaron Archer. I'm assuming Aaron Archer is the one that said this, but it was a Hasbro representative that they interviewed. They addressed the fact that Masterpiece Hot Rod will be released in the U.S. in 2011, and they are aware of the QC issues that the Rodimus Prime from Takara is experiencing. But they will attempt to fix those and everything. But going back to Transformers Prime, here's the tidbit that I was looking for. Transformers Prime toys were originally going to be limited to just Prime, Bumblebee, Starscream, and Starscream in the Generations line. But they decided the line warranted larger treatment, and so it will be spun off into its own product label. So there it is from the horse's mouth, actually.
Well, there we go. That is great news. Now, that still, though, doesn't necessarily mean that Walmart listing, because they said the original intention was to have those in the Generations line, and then they've decided to make it its own line. So depending on how quickly that information moves through the system to get to Walmart's computer, those very well could have been the Prime toys in that listing.
Yeah.
They just haven't been updated, because that story's kind of old at this point.
Well, seeing as how the Warpath toy, we've actually seen the protos and everything for it now, it's possible that it was the Transformers Prime RC. But I'm seeing this now, I'm going to call it now, before, you know, months before, ahead of time. That way I can say, ooh, I'm awesome. I really think that at BotCon, it's possible we will hear of a G1 RC homage in Generations.
I hope you're right, because that's a toy we've been wanting for quite a while.
Yeah. I mean, we've been getting them in, we finally got one in animated, we've gotten third-party RCs that are pretty awesome. And we've got wasn't there even an RC in the Robot Heroes?
Yes, I actually – yes, I have her here on my desk in front of me.
Well, let's see. I mean, so, you know, it's not Hasbro – it's not like Hasbro's completely been ignoring her. Plus, we've had RCs in the movie line, although they were motorbikes, and we have RC in Transformers Prime. So, you know, G1 RC started the idea of the character, so why not homage said character with a Generations homage? I mean, it just makes sense.
I think the biggest reason we haven't gotten it before now is the color. Pink. She was pink, and it's hard to get a boy to buy a pink toy. You know, I mean, especially, you know, yeah, collectors our age, we're secure enough in our masculinity, we can buy a pink toy, just like you can wear a pink tie or a pink shirt. But, you know, little kids, you know, elementary school, middle school, you know, not so much. Yeah. Unless things have changed since I was younger. So I think that was the biggest reason was trying to get to sell a pink toy, because all these other RCs, with the exception of animated, you know, they weren't pink. They were other colors. And even animated RC isn't really a pink. She's more of a, you know, red with a pinkish tint, but she's closer to red than she is pink.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. I mean, if the closest we can get is a Generation 1 inspired RC that's very clear of the design, but it's just a little more red than pink,
I can live with that, yeah. But, you know, it's like my animated RC that I have here. My wife claims that as her own. She loves RC, and, you know, I could easily have her go into a store and buy it for me if I felt uncomfortable in any form, you know, going and buying a pink girl Transformer. But I don't, so I don't think that will be happening. But I may wind up having to get one for just for her, that way she can mess with it, and I'll have my RC.
That'll be the one you'll have to buy two of.
Yeah.
Okay, but reeling in this rabbit trail back to the Transformers Prime toys. Yeah. The other thing that was revealed besides those three deluxes is a I guess it would be a 5-pack. At first, I was calling it a 2-pack, but it would be more accurate to call it a 5-pack. We get a deluxe size Prime and a deluxe size Megatron, and they come with the three humans. So you get Miko, Raph, and Jack. Which is kind of neat because we don't usually get human characters with the Transformers, even though they're always a big part of the show, with the exception of Energon Kicker. But I think even he came with a Transformer, you know, with a transforming motorcycle. And, you know, I'm kind of digging these characters, especially Miko. She's my favorite of the three. So, you know, besides, I mean, even if they sold them just a 3-pack by themselves, I'd still buy them. You know, I'm not getting them just because they're included with the Prime and Megatron. I want the little human characters. I kind of dig them.
Yeah. I think the first and only true human character that we actually got, aside from the Human Alliance toys, the first human that was ever released in the Transformers, and I'm not counting G1 Spike with Fortress Maximus, since in the Japanese continuity they were all robots, even the heads. Energon Kicker, that's the name I was looking for, and Energon, in both the Japanese and the U.S. continuities, he was a human being, and they actually released about 6-inch figure. He was pretty tall for
He was like a 3-3-4. He was about the size of a Joe. Yeah,
he's a little bit bigger than that.
He may have been, but he came with the motorcycle, as I just mentioned. There's like a dirt bike Transformer that he was packaged with.
Mm-hmm.
And,
But yeah, he was released then, and that was the first human character. I honestly don't remember him selling all that well, so it kind of surprises me that they're actually bringing humans out again. But then given the outcry of fans wanting animated characters such as
Sorry,
and her father, and Someday. And the Angry Archer, and all the others, yeah, they... Hasbro's listening to the fans, I believe, and this is evident of that.
But what I can say from looking at the pictures of them here, you know, looking on T-Formers, I think they have one of the best galleries online if you want to go look at these pictures. I don't know if we've mirrored them, but we'll probably link to them on Geek Existence. They don't look to have any real posability. They look like just static figures. Nothing. I mean, they don't look to have any arm, leg, knee, anything. They're just in a static pose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
opening up that, the green. Sorry.
That's okay. But it'll be interesting. I mean, I'm looking forward to having them just to put them on the shelf next to the Transformers. You know, like I said, I would buy them if they came individually packed, but it's just all the better they come in the 2-pack. I'm just wondering how much that'll affect the price. You know, two deluxes should be, you know, $20 to $25, because I mean, prices are creeping up to $12 a piece on deluxes now.
Well, given
I'm wondering
I'm kind of wondering how big these human characters actually are, because if they're not very big at all, seeing as how the $20 price point for the Challenge at Cybertron set with Hot Rod, Cyclonus, his Target Master, a Matrix, and a comic book, mm-hmm. That fit in the $20 price point. I'm kind of wondering, you know, with the Matrix, the Target Master, and the comic book, would that kind of equate out to the price that of materials that is used in those three figures?
Possibly. I think the biggest difference in this case, though, is those were toys that have already been released more than once, so they've already recouped their tooling costs. And so usually later releases of a mold tend to get cheaper that reason. This is a first release on these Prime toys, so I would expect them to be closer to the regular retail. And even though these – I mean, it's hard to tell in this picture. I mean, you got the Prime alt mode and robot mode in the background, but you got the whole perspective thing that's going to look smaller because it's further back. And I can't really tell how far behind them, like Prime's truck mode is directly behind Miko in this picture I'm looking at, which I'm going to send you a link to so you can see it. But I don't, you know, I can't tell. She looks to be pretty good sized, even with compensating for the distance, but Prime could be a little further back than he appears to be.
Yeah.
But they look to be pretty decent sized, but even if they're small, they've got a lot of paint apps. And that's, you know, additional cost in production as well. I couldn't see the three of them with all those paint apps being, you know, cheaper than $5 for all three of them.
Well, they do look to be sort of a larger size, I guess. But, Well, yeah, maybe they might fit into an ultra price point then.
$25 for the three figures and the two Transformers?
Yeah.
Either way, I'm buying it.
Yeah, I am too. I've already seen these toys now, and I know I will have them. And there's just nothing right now, unless they really come out with. No, I don't think there's anything that could dissuade me from getting these guys. They're totally awesome.
The only thing that could would be the same toys in a larger scale, like a Voyager size Prime, because it would just be a better toy. Yeah. But I don't think they're going to have those on the shelf at the same time. Those will definitely be released down the road, I would imagine. But again, I want the human figures enough that I will go ahead and get these.
Most definitely. Well, let's move on to the big topic of the week. The New York Toy Fair that happened in New York this week. We got to see quite a few new reveals, and a lot of questions were answered. Or a few questions, I guess. I'm not making a whole lot of sense tonight, but I'm kind of tired anyway.
I'm wondering what questions you were referring to off the top of your head. I admit I haven't read much of the coverage. So I haven't read any of the interviews.
I haven't read a whole lot either. I just skimmed over quite a bit of the information. I'll tell you what. Let's just talk about the list right here that we have, and I'll mention the big question whenever we get to it. Okay. But the Cyberverse Legion assortment, they appear to be legend size figures. You want to kind of go over the short list of them there?
It looks like we've got these seem to be Legends toys. You got Leadfoot, who is the red NASCAR. Bumblebee, Barricade, Crankcase, Crowbar, Mudflap, Skids, and Topspin, who's the Lowe's NASCAR. Trying to pull up the pictures real quick to just look at them as I mention them. Trying to find which link it is here.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I've got them open up in a different link, but I'm going to try to get to the same ones.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at a different source of pictures than what you pulled your list from.
Well, actually, I got that source from the AllSpark, actually.
What I am noticing here is, this is as well as when we get to the deluxe size, which I think they have a different name, is that the NASCARs, because we know the footage we saw of them driving around in Chicago for filming when we saw pictures, was that they all had like guns all over them. So we can tell, obviously, okay, they're disguised as race cars, but when you get in the big battle, they pop out all these guns. It's going to look cool in the movie. And I was kind of hoping in the toys we would get, you know, okay, you got the car mode, looks like a race car, pop open a few panels, plus some guns, and then steel transform it to a robot. And that doesn't look to be the case. So far, I've only seen well, in this Legends class, the Lowe's car is just normal-looking race car. And the red one, which would be the Target sponsored car, you know, he's got all the guns all over him in vehicle mode. And then when you get to the deluxe point, the two that are released is the Lowe's car and the AMP Mountain Dew car. And in that size class, the Mountain Dew car is just a normal race car, and the Lowe's car has all the guns all over it. So I've got mixed feelings on that because I was really looking forward to the race car guys. I wanted to get just, you know, clean race cars turned into robots, and if they had guns that could pop out everywhere, that was an added bonus. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to get them all in just plain race car mode. It's not looking too promising. But I will say the stereotypes for rednecks are kind of prevalent in these designs from what I can see. you know, the red one, we only have one, which is this Legions class, and he looks like he has a beer gut.
I'm trying to find a picture of him here. Actually, I don't see a picture of him on this list here. I need to pull up the.
I'm on the T-formers because, like I said, they get some of the better quality pictures. I'll send you a link.
Okay. Well, I was going to pull up the Transformer Club images. I'll do the T-former one.
Yeah, I mean, just the front of the car folds down onto his stomach.
Gut. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it necessarily has a beer gut or if it's they just have him with a really dynamic pelvic thrust there.
Yeah, I guess maybe you could lean his legs, pull his legs forward.
Yeah, kind of look at his knees and everything. He kind of does look like he's doing a massive pelvic thrust there.
Yeah, I seem to recall the Transformers Club pictures, though, even though, you know, they were like the professional photos, supposedly, and it looked kind of the same way there, too. I think it's just because you're looking at the size of the toy. It's just there's only so much you can do with a Legends class toy. And I don't know that his design in the movie will actually look that way, but considering that's the only version of the red one we've seen a toy of, and it looks to have a beer gut. Because the Lowe's car, I think it's the Lowe's car, has a mullet, and the Mountain Dew AMP car has, like, baseball cap and sunglasses. So they all seem to have some markings of redneck.
Actually, yeah. I'm looking at the Transformer Club images here, and it does look like he kind of has a gut here.
Yeah. So you got your beer gut, sunglasses, and baseball cap, and then you know, mullet. You know, these are the rednecks. Considering what they did with the Skids and Mudflap in the last movie, it would not surprise me that they all act like rednecks.
Not a bit. Which is kind of disappointing, you know, that they go that way. But anyway, moving on, we got the Transformers Cyberverse Commander assortment. These appear to be the basic size figures. And the first one that we have listed there, I am totally, totally stoked for. I mean, it looks awesome. Power Glide.
I'm trying to find the right pictures here. I think I may have pulled up the wrong ones. I'm looking at the MechTech weapon system image gallery. That's not right.
Well, let me send you a link to the.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to the one you've got.
Yeah, the Transformer Club one here.
Because apparently the two sides don't have everything in the same order.
Well, everything came at such a rush. I mean, right whenever these figures were revealed, only the Transformers Club actually had images of them, and now it seems like everybody has images. So, whenever I posted on the on our forums that I couldn't even find images other than what was on the Transformers Club.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I like the fact they're changing the names of these. And it's kind of annoying when you're used to calling them Scouts, and now you're like, you want the Scout, what do you call it now? It's the Commander assortment.
Basic, it's Commander, refreshing. Scout. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing they're changing it up. But yeah, the Power Glide, I was one of those who, yes, I bought the Power Glide from the Ultra, and I kind of reluctantly because to me he was just too large for Power Glide, regardless of the fact that an A-10 fighter should be that much bigger than all the cars he's standing next to. You know, being a G-1er, I look at Power Glide in the cartoon. He was kind of short and small. He was supposed to be this little plane, smaller than the Seekers. I think even Megatron gives a couple of the Coneheads down the road because they were bested by this little bitty plane. So the toy should reflect that. You know, he should be smaller than them. You know. And yeah, so that makes me all kinds of happy.
You know, I actually had sold my Power Glide, and seeing as how they're releasing this this basic, this commander, I guess you will. I guess they're taking a page from the Power Core Combiners, using the commander name. But I think this will be my Power Glide in my collection, because to me, this does embody what Power Glide looked like and was, more so than what the Ultra did. I mean, although the Ultra was a good toy, I mean, I'm not knocking it by any means. It was just too big.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the electronics, I didn't care for the electronics, even though it did have the transforming sound, which was cool. But you just barely bump the button on it, and it's making noise. I hate that.
Yeah, especially with given how his transformation wasn't really the most fluid and smooth. You know, it's like it would make the transformation sound when you pop something loose, and then as you're trying to get other things lined up so you can snap things back together where they go for the other mode, it's, you know, the thing's swinging around and bumping, and so it's and it's like, okay, I've heard it once, I don't hear it anymore. Really kind of annoying. But yeah, I mean, otherwise, I'm like you, it was a pretty good toy. I think it may serve better even just as a Voyager, you know, just knock the scale down a little. I think Ultra was just too big for that toy.
Yeah. Moving on, we also got revealed in the Cyberverse Commander assortment, Blackout.
This is hilarious. Yes, because people have been – because Blackout in the first movie was a Voyager. And his what did they call it? It wasn't mech tech. What was it called in the first movie when they were the parts auto transform? Automorph.
Oh, automorph, yeah.
Yeah, his automorph in his chest. Apparently, some of the gears weren't quite big enough, or the cogs on the gear weren't big enough. And you know, it's a lot of people had a lot of issue with it working correctly because something would end up slipping and being out of line. But people like the design so much, the fans have been screaming they want leader class Blackout. We want a leader class Blackout. We want a better Blackout than when we got the first movie. We want a leader, you know, like you had with Thrall. And
they go
turn
the
around
other direction.
And they go the other way and give him as a basic. It's almost like they were just like, okay, y'all been screaming for a leader Blackout. We're going to like just make you a little bit mad here.
Well, what's cool though is he comes with a very tiny Scorponok as well.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. That is pretty cool. Looks like it may incorporate into his helicopter mode too.
It's possible, but we didn't really see a Blackout in the Revenge of the Fallen line, did we?
Well, they had the repaint of him because he was in the forest fight scene where they used the same CGI model with some slight changes. And
that's right.
So we got a repaint of the Voyager as Grindor.
Yeah, that's right. But I guess this is the return to that character. Of course, you know, the Japanese fans got Animatedo Blackout, which was quite cool. I saw one at BotCon. I wish I'd gotten one now in retrospect. But this is the first time we've seen a new Blackout toy, and it's actually kind of cool. I wouldn't mind picking this one up as well.
Yeah, I got to admit, that was tempting.
And Ironhide is getting shrunk down to
Isn't he the first toy since Bumblebee to be in at least three different size classes?
I believe so.
I mean, I think Prime probably did. He had Leader and Voyager, and I don't know that the movie Prime ever had a Deluxe, did he? I mean, he had a couple of different Voyagers, a couple of different Leaders, but he stayed in those two size classes. Bumblebee was in the Leader.
No, Prime never had a Deluxe, though.
Yeah, he only had two. I think Bumblebee was the only one to have more than two until now. Ironhide, then you had the Voyager and the Deluxe, and now the commander.
And so, we're also getting a leader class Ironhide as well.
Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot about that. So you know, he's going to have as many size classes as Bumblebee, which tells me he better have a bigger role in this movie. I mean, Bumblebee, it's kind of justified given how much exposure he's had in the movies to justify that many toys. But Ironhide, other than, you know, a somewhat mediocre role in the first movie, he didn't do much in the second movie.
It's kind of surprising, too, with Chevy letting them use this vehicle in the movies continually and giving it an increased role, seeing as how, I believe, didn't they stop production on the GMC Top Kick?
Yes, it is done. But, I mean, I just can't see the justification for Ironhide having this many different size class toys unless he gets picked up in significant more screen time in the movie. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense because there's no real demands for that character.
But it's really cool though that we're getting a small version of Ironhide out. Like I said, out of all the toys or out of all the new movie designs, Ironhide was probably one of my favorite personal favorite new designs. Simply for the reason he almost maintains that that look that a Transformer has. I mean, he has big pieces of car parts hanging off of him. He doesn't look like a bunch of folded knives or something.
I agree. He does look nice.
I kind of like him. So it'll be cool to see him in this small, basic scout class size. Megatron, the tanker version, tanker truck version of Megatron, we're going to get one of him and also of Optimus Prime.
Yeah, we just talked about Prime sticking to two size classes. He's now up to three. But until they release a deluxe, he's now behind Ironhide for the number of size, different size classes. Yeah. But yeah, these all look good. I mean, I'm especially digging the Megatron. I'm loving his design in this movie. You know, he's actually in Earth alt mode and he's a truck. And it even says Mac blazing across the grill there in the art on that package. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to buy every Megatron they release pretty much. I mean, I'm getting at least a Scout and a Voyager. If they release a leader, I'll buy it too.
Yeah. Last but certainly not least of the Scout sized or the Commander assortment, Sentinel Prime. Now, this is one of the questions that I believe has been answered. As we saw in the teaser trailer with the robot that we was kind of wondering, who is that? You know, is it Alpha Trion? Is it Vector Prime? Well, if you look closely at the Voyager size of this toy, or I'm sorry, the leader class size.
It's the leader. It's released in the Scout and leader size, only two sizes it has. Yeah, the head, I've seen a side-by-side shot where somebody took a, you know, from the teaser image and then, you know, up close of the toy from the same angle. It's definitely got the exact same head and face. So, yeah, the robot on the Ark crashed on the moon is a Sentinel Prime, and he's the fire truck we saw on set.
Which is kind of cool. But, yeah, we're getting a commander-sized version of him. We'll speak more about the leader-class size later. The next size class that we have revealed are the action sets. They look to be Cyberverse Legend size figures, and they come with a small transformable playset. Now, I believe only three that I can see. I might have missed one or two, but Bumblebee and Starscream. Bumblebee comes with like a armored truck that turns into a mobile battle platform, and Starscream comes with a aircraft carrier, turns into a battle platform, and we get an Ark playset with a Roller.
Yeah, I'm curious. I want to learn more about Roller. He's just a little small robot that turns he rides in the Ark. It's I want more information on this. Is he going to be a character in the movie, or is he just kind of there, or what? A lot of unanswered questions on this one.
Yeah, I'm kind of miffed at the Transformers Club. They gave us all these pictures right off the bat, and they neglected to put a picture of the Ark up there. So I was completely unaware of it until about a half hour to an hour before we actually started recording tonight. There's been such a glut of information that's released over the weekend.
I'm looking at some pictures.
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that we're missing.
Over at T-Formers, I clicked on theirs, their Cyberverse, which is like all the Legends class.
Uh-huh.
And there looks to be another playset of Optimus Prime with trailer, where, you know, Prime transforms. He's a little slightly larger than the other Legends class, but in his trailer turns into like some armor for him. You need a link to it, or? Could you find it here? I'll send you a link real quick.
Okay, here's a – I'll shoot you a link to the close-up Roller here.
Because we got some Legends class figures in this, and we see a lot of those same basics, and then you've got this Prime that's got a trailer.
Okay, I didn't see the Prime. That's one that's – like I said, it's escaped my my notice. But like I said, there's such a glut of information and images that we got from the weekend. it's easy to miss information on here.
But what do you think about that Prime? I mean, I think he looks pretty daggone
awesome. That looks pretty honking sweet. I'm not really digging the robot mode so much, but the truck mode looks pretty awesome.
What I like about the robot mode is it looks like he's got trailer pieces attached to him. So it's like kind of like the ultra class beginning of Prime trailer that combines, but it's on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm. I'll definitely be picking that one up for sure. Simply for the truck mode. I just like the way it looks there. But also, moving on, we also have the deluxe class mech tech feature assortment. The deluxe class, they're basically deluxe class figures, and they have the mech tech gimmick, which is weapons that attach. I guess they transform or have some kind of gimmick feature. I know we discussed this when we first saw some of the leaked toys over the last week or two, and I know they really don't look that appealing, the mech tech weapons themselves. I think they look kind of gaudy and ugly. I don't care for them at all, but nonetheless, the assortment that we're getting Sideswipe, a deluxe class Starscream, Skids, Ratchet, Roadbuster, which is the AMP number 88 AMP Dale Jr. NASCAR, Top Spin, the Lowe's NASCAR, and Barricade, which is a black decoed police car, as we saw in the first movie, as well as Jolt. Yeah, it's a new mold.
And I love Barricade. He was, in my opinion, the best Decepticon in the first movie because he didn't get a whole lot of screen time. He wasn't far behind Megatron and Starscream for screen time. But his scenes were memorable. He was the first Transformer we saw, you know, speak. And just the way he spoke and the lines he had, it kind of gave him some character that stood. You know, it stuck with me. You know, because he sounded very robotic in the way he was questioning Sam, you know, are you username Ladiesman 217? You know, and he finally says, yeah. He's like, where's the eBay item 21153? I mean, he's actually reading off the numbers like any human would do that. We would just ask for the glasses, you know.
Yeah.
And to me, that always stuck out, and it just kind of embedded. And so Barricade was one of my favorite Transformers, and kind of stunk that he really didn't get any resolution. It was like he's there, he's on the highway, and then he's gone.
Yeah.
The comics showed him getting killed, but there was a lot of other discrepancies between the comics and the actual movie. So in the movie itself, he may not have. So we were hoping to see him in Revenge of the Fallen. He was absent, and I don't think he's going to be in this movie either. I think it's just an excuse to release a new toy, which is a shame because – you know, I would like to see Barricade at least show up to get killed, if nothing else. Just let us know what happened to him. But I'm excited about a new Barricade toy. I will definitely buy it. I love the Mustang.
Out of all these, I think I'm probably most excited about Roadbuster, the AMP NASCAR. He looks pretty cool. Like you said, he kind of looks like he has sunglasses on and a backwards hat or something. But aside from that, he looks pretty darn cool.
Well, he's the only one of the wreckers to give us a clean car mode, you know, in a deluxe size. I mean, because the only other one we're getting, at least in this first wave, we may get the red car later. But the other one we're getting is the Lowe's car, and he's, you know, got all the guns all over him like we saw on set. You know, there's no clean race car there.
Yeah.
But so, the same reason I'm digging that same race car.
I think out of all the deluxes, that's the one. I may pick up Top Spin, even though he's got all the gun junk on him. I don't really care for all of that, but I guess they had to make them different enough. See, the thing is, though, they have different robot modes, so what difference does it make if they have the same alt mode?
A similar maybe this is one of those deals where they can't release them. You know, maybe the engineering would have been too complex to try to give them a clean mode and all the guns. And so they just kind of mixed it up. You know, well, in this size class, he'll get a clean car. He'll have guns everywhere. The other size class, you know, they'll flip it around. Just because they couldn't make it one toy that does both, but yet they wanted to have a representation of both modes. So it's like, well, if you want a race car with guns all over it, you buy the blue one. If you want a clean race car, you buy the green one. Because they just didn't have enough slots to make two of each.
Well, it's kind of cool though that they kept the name Top Spin with him because Top Spin Generation 1 Top Spin maintained the same color scheme. Mm-hmm. So
And it's a shame, too, because actually looking at the robot modes, I think I like the transformation for Top Spin better than, was it Roadbusters, the green one?
Yeah.
And, you know, but again, I prefer the clean alt mode, so that's the one I ended up going with.
But, you know, out of all the new deluxes, I like Roadbuster the best, and probably Top Spin would be the second, close second. Then, of course, Barricade, simply because he's just worlds of awesome. Moving on, MechTech Voyager class, of course, Voyager size figures, again with the MechTech gimmick weapons. We're getting Megatron, the tanker truck, and Optimus Prime, Shockwave, as we discussed last week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And a new character, Skyhammer. Skyhammer is the attack helicopter. Yeah, the Apache-looking helicopter. And he looks pretty darn cool.
Just for money-saving purposes, I probably won't buy him, just because I don't really dig helicopters that much. But he does look really cool. But that Megatron, I've said it before, that's a must-buy for me. That Prime, I'm not really digging him. You know, the Voyager size Prime, he's leaves a lot to be desired in my eyes.
Yeah, I don't think he looks all that great either. I don't like the big fuel tank sticking up on his shoulders. It looks kind of gay. And I don't like the looks almost like solar panels on his hood and on the top of the truck mode. And the detached exhaust pipes, too.
Yeah, it's the for me, it's the solar panel looking things on the truck mode. That does it worse than anything else. I've heard some people that have, like, you know, in China that got a hold of this toy early say that it's not really a fake chest that he has. He just has some armor that folds up over the truck windshield. But it doesn't look like there's any way to remove that armor, to have it out of the way, to actually have the truck windshield for his chest. So you ultimately do end up with a fake windshield on his chest. There's a lot about that toy after having the Battle Blades Prime in hand, which was a scaled down of the leader, which was the most screen accurate we've had. There's just nothing in that Voyager Prime that's calling out to me to saying, hey, buy me.
Yeah, this toy is an easy pass for me. It just looks ugly on many, many levels. And it's an example of them using gimmicks basically to ruin a toy. It's the gimmicks of the toy has ruined it.
Well, I can see this being a good toy for kids because it looks like, I mean, Battle Blades Prime, as cool as he is, I could see being a little kid, like, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, that being a toy that you open. It looks really good. They try to transform it once, never quite get it there, get frustrated. It gets tossed in the toy box and it first left because it is very complicated. It is, you know, adult collectors will get the most enjoyment out of that. This, besides having the gimmick to give it some play value, it also seems to be more simplified with, you know, larger, chunkier parts. It just looks like something a kid could transform easier and thus have more fun playing with.
Yeah. The next Voyager class figure that we got revealed was Ironhide. And it looks like he has massive wheel boobs of doom.
Yeah. We had Voyager Ironhide before. And they're giving us a new mold of it. I honestly don't understand why. The last one was, you know, a pretty good toy already.
Yeah, this one's kind of hideous, actually.
Yeah, it's, you know, I just honestly, like I said, I don't understand why we're getting this. It makes no sense. I mean, because Ratchet is getting the same toy from the first movie repainted yet again. You know, and I look at all the different toys Ironhide's getting, all these different size classes. It's almost like Ratchet's getting the shaft. You know, because instead of just repainting his same toy that was repainted in the last two movies, he's getting a whole new one while Ratchet doesn't. And Ratchet's probably the toy that needed the new toy more because his, you know, first release, where basically his only release, it's not anywhere near as good as the Ironhide toy was. But yet the Ironhide's the one getting the upgrade while Ratchet's left alone.
I think what's killing the aesthetic for that toy for me is the wheels on the chest. I mean, they stick out almost like tits. And I don't care for that. I mean, it just looks ugly. I mean, they if anything, they should tuck up underneath the truck hood, but they don't. They just like hang out there like man boobs.
I'm trying to find a better picture because I was looking at it.
Well, look at the Transformer Club picture.
Okay.
My screen's kind of freezing up on
me. Oh, yeah. That could be a mistransformation. I can't imagine. I mean, those have to fold up under a little more.
Well, see, look at it in box, though. I mean, it's that way even in box and on the pictures of the box. So I'm assuming that's the correct transformation.
Well, if he's going to have, you know, robo boobs, at least they're the tires, so they'll be soft and squishy.
Yeah, but what if you deflate the tires? They're just going to sag.
Well, that's like when he gets old, you know.
Yeah. He's getting to be an old man. He took too many robo steroids, and now he's got those man boobs that are just sagging where the muscles used to be, Anyway,
so Ratchet's by the fact that he's using the same toy, he's aged well.
Yeah,
they don't need to redesign Ironhide. His sagging.
This is Ironhide.
Yeah. Well, I know, but I'm saying where Ratchet didn't get a new toy, see, because he doesn't need one because he's not sagging now.
Yeah.
The Ironhide's the one showing his age and sagging, so they have to accurately represent that with a new toy.
I guess so. Well, Ironhide is supposed to be a grizzled old vet, too, so I guess that would fit. So, but the leader class mech tech that we were talking about, I know we briefly mentioned a while ago that Ironhide is getting a leader class toy. And it looks pretty cool from the few pictures that I've seen of it. Mm-hmm. It might be a pickup for me. Well, I know he definitely is a pickup, but as far as a buy for me, I'd definitely like to get it. But it's going to be a judgment call whenever I first see it in stores.
Yeah, you got to see it in person and then make a call on that one. I can totally agree. I don't know. I mean,
the GMC Top Kick, so.
Yeah, it was a surprise, though. Again, it goes back to the whole leader blackout. Ironhide has already had some pretty awesome toys in multiple size classes. You know, they go the opposite direction of blackout, and they give Ironhide a leader class. He has to have a bigger role in this next movie. I mean,
I would like to have seen Ironhide get a Human Alliance toy.
Yeah, that's what give him a bigger toy in the Human Alliance line, and then give us our leader blackout. It's just kind of strange that that was a big surprise at Toy Fair. Everything else we'd pretty much already heard of, and we saw it coming. We figured the fire truck was going to end up being a leader. We didn't know who it was until now. Bumblebee we'd already heard about that had leaked before. But, yeah, Ironhide was the big surprise.
Yeah.
If nothing else, I would have thought would give us a Megatron in that size. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your thoughts I was getting ready to say Vector Prime. Sentinel Prime, the fire truck. It looks like an airport fire truck.
Yeah, I mean, I never really cared for fire truck Transformers. R.D. Prime, I was disappointed because I like tractor trailers better than fire trucks. And so I've just never really been, ooh, that's a cool-looking fire truck. I'm very, if anything, I'm the other way. It's like, oh, fire truck. But, I mean, as far as the toy itself goes, he does look really cool. If I liked fire trucks more than I do, I would say, yeah, he looks pretty awesome. You may like fire trucks more than me, so you may have a better opinion on this guy. But for me, it's like, he does look cool. If that toy were released in a Voyager, I may pick it up out of curiosity just, you know, because it looks cool. But I don't know that I like it enough to buy it at leader price.
Well, if I do get a leader class toy, more than likely it will be this one. I'm not a huge fire truck fan. The reason I'd be getting him wouldn't be because he's a fire truck, simply because I think his robot mode looks pretty darn cool. The shield, it's almost like he's got a bow sword or something, kind of like a Darth Maul type sword or something, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a double bladed sword.
I kind of dig that look. Plus, he does maintain a lot of the classic style look. He doesn't look like a bunch of twisted metal or anything. He's got a lot of panels and windows and wheels hanging off of him where you would expect to see such said things. Although he does apparently have electronics in him because he has like a little try me window and and says, yeah, two AA batteries. So I assume he's going to have some kind of voice chip in him.
And I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that his design looks less like a, you know, pile of silverware when the silverware drawer falls out onto the ground. Because didn't we, when we were talking about the teaser on the show, did I make a comment that one thing that was surprising to me and pleasant was that this new robot looked less like the movie design and more like the classic aesthetic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the toy reflects that.
Yeah, I'm quite liking it. And again, it's one of those that whenever I see it in the store, if I can afford it, I'm definitely getting this toy. He looks really, really cool. But I think we've dwelt on Sentinel Prime enough. Move on here to the MechTech Human Alliance Triple Changers. Apparently, there's a small deluxe class Human Alliance figures that come with a human character that are also Triple Changers. That, well, not the humans, but the Transformers themselves.
Well, do we know these are deluxe or?
Well, you can kind of tell by looking at the human characters in relation to them.
If they're the same size as the Human Alliance characters with the other
races. Yeah, assuming such. Let's see here.
Yeah, because I think the bottom picture looks like a Legends class figure there next to it. So yeah, I guess it could be. It's definitely bigger than a basic or even the commanders that we had with the power cores, which were a little larger than basic. I guess it could be a deluxe. It just struck me as kind of small for a deluxe. But yeah, I was looking at Thunderhead. He's the one with the Legends figure at the bottom picture. He comes with a character by the name of Major Tungsten, and he turns from a robot into a spider tank.
Yes.
Which I'm surprised I'm not digging more than I am because I love robotic spiders. But yet,
yeah, this one here probably is the least appealing out of the lot that we've seen. Although I'm kind of digging the ED-209. Mode that he has. Remember the robot from RoboCop?
Yes.
He kind of has an alternate Gerwalt mode that looks like maybe a mech suit for Major Tungsten.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of looks like an ED-209. I'm kind of digging that. And if I do get that toy, it'll be for that reason.
That's probably his only redeeming feature, but I'm going ahead looking at the next one. Now we have Backfire with Spike Witwicky, which is kind of refreshing that we're getting a Spike toy, considering it's been Sam Witwicky in the movies. This one I'm kind of digging as far as the robot itself. I think the robot mode looks better than the other one. He's got the motor trike, which is like we saw in the first movie, the motorcycles with the two front wheels. But I got to say, I'm a little underwhelmed with his third mode. I guess it's like a battle mode for the human to ride on it.
What the crap is that?
It looks like just a fan transformation.
Yeah.
It's like a kid halfway transformed it and then stuck a human on it and said, there. It doesn't look like anything.
It looks like he's sitting on the engine block.
Yeah, that would get a little hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that picture. It doesn't. As far as I'm concerned, that only has two.
Not feeling that. Ice Pick now looks actually kind of cool. The snowmobile.
Snowmobile, yes. Is that a big giant chainsaw sticking out the front? I mean, there's nothing cooler than
it. Kind of looks like a. Well, I guess it might be a chainsaw of sorts. It comes with Sergeant Chaos. Oh, and it's a Decepticon. Human Alliance. This is the first Decepticon Human Alliance that we got that is not. Barricade didn't come with a human.
So. You know, looking at these toys, I mean, like I said, so far of these first three we've looked at, I'm still digging the one that comes with Spike the most. Although this does look cool. But with him being a Decepticon and just looking at the design of these, an aesthetic that this really jumps out at me on is this kind of reminds me of what we would get if we got what we wanted with a Transformers G.I. Joe crossover.
Yeah.
Could they be testing the waters? I mean, you get some Decepticons, give them some, you know, Human Alliance with some Cobra characters. I mean, we are getting kind of a hint of that as an SDC exclusive, or SDCC. So, I mean, could it be that Hasbro's testing the waters, see how popular this could be? And, I mean, these toys seem to be screaming Transformers G.I. Joe crossovers. It's Human Alliance, but at a lower price point because $30 a piece, although they sold pretty well, you know, they're around $10 price range toys sell the best. And, you know, so here you go, smaller scale Human Alliance. You get them down around $10, you can really do a good crossover line here.
Yeah. The next one, which is Sandstorm with Private Deadcliff. I think to me personally is the most appealing looking one out of them all. It's a dune buggy. His robot mode to me looks the best out of them all. And he's got his tertiary mode looks like a giant recliner with guns on it.
Yeah, like a battle platform of some sort.
Yeah. Really don't see a purpose in that, but it's like all of these triple changers, and I'll use the term loosely, and only because they use it officially on the package, but it looks like they all have a decent robot mode, somewhat decent robot mode, somewhat decent alt mode, and then a fan wank mode as their third tertiary mode.
Right.
And the third tertiary mode on all of them looks kind of stupid.
Except for the spider tank, that was his best mode.
Yeah.
There's Ed 209. Thunderhead.
But those are the Human Alliance mech tech that was revealed. Let's see here.
Then you go back to the regular Human Alliance line with the size class we had before. We're getting yet another release of Bumblebee. This time,
at least
they're switching it up. Instead of just giving us the same toy with a sand with a different colored shirt, we're actually getting him in black with yellow stripes, so yellow with black stripes, which he doesn't look bad. It is a little variety from what we had before, as opposed to his previous two or three releases where it's just the same toy over and over. It's the same toy in new colors. It doesn't look bad, but again, I already have Human Alliance Bumblebee. I don't really need another one.
And he wasn't worth $30 to begin with anyway. But
I don't know. I thought he was.
Well, I kind of like the deluxe Battle Blades Bumblebee. He's way better, in my opinion.
But something else, though, that's not listed on the club's forums that I saw on the other threads was in the same size class, we're getting a re-release of Human Alliance Skids, only it's not the same mold we got before, because I guess in the movie, Skids and Mudflap both moved from the prototypes, the concept cars that they were, to the production. I think the car's called the Spark.
Yeah.
I may not be correct on that, but anyway, that's actually being moved to production. It's kind of like a variation of what Skids' concept car was, but it's four-door, and so they're both being in that movie as black, with Skids has green stripes, Mudflap has brown, like the brown stripes, or orange, whatever color you want to call it. And so that's what they're going to be in the movie, and we're getting a release with the new car mode of Skids, the black with the green stripes. I remember where I saw the pictures of that. I didn't dig them up.
I couldn't find them either.
Yeah, I know I saw it somewhere. Like I said, we've had a ton of pictures all over the web this weekend, and I saw them somewhere, but I can't relocate them now to share them. But it was pretty much what you'd expect. It's like the Skids with his new body, new paint job, only a little bit larger and with a human character. And I think it comes with Simmons again. Actually, I think Simmons came with Mudflap the first time. But I'm wanting to think it had Simmons with it. I could be wrong on that. I think I may have just found the picture. It's just the deluxe one again. No, here it is. But I don't see who it's got with it. Oh, no, wait. I'm corrected. Even though the movie has it as the new version of the car, this actually is just a repaint of the previous one. It's not a new mold. Like I was just thinking. So scratch
basically
that.
Squeezing more money out of the same mold.
Yeah.
Same toy.
It comes with Epps this time. And it has the... gives us the third bike sister in purple, which is just, I think, just a repaint of the one we got before.
Yeah.
But it is now purple.
Last but not least, well, I guess certainly least, actually, we got to see some robot fighters, GoBots, and Activators. Now, these aren't in any way, shape, or form aimed at the collector market, although some collectors do really dig this type of Transformer toy. But the Activators are pretty much, how would you describe them, Greg?
I don't know. They're
very simple.
Yeah. They kind of look like an evolution of the, what were they called? Gravity Bots that came out, I think, the last movie, where the Gravity Bots, I never picked one up because they were surprisingly expensive for what they were in their size and simplicity. But the concept looked cool, where you took – it was a car, and you stood it on its end, and I guess something inside would slide, and it would spin a bunch of parts around as it slid down, and it would turn into like a robot. And then when you set it back down, the gravity would then pull the slider the other way, like it had a lead weight inside the toy, and then everything would slide, flip back around. This kind of looks like the same thing, except they took out the gravity effect, and you kind of have to pull it. Like on the back of the package on Bumblebee, it shows you stand the car on its end, and then you just kind of push down. It like pushes something up in the back of the car and causes a bunch of stuff to flip out and transform. They're definitely like little kid toys to me. They don't look like anything for the collector.
Well, not more so than the GoBots, the Sideswipe and the Bumblebee toys. We're getting activators that I saw of Bumblebee, Prime, and Starscream. But the GoBots, we're getting Sideswipe and Bumblebee. With these, the best description I can think of is GoBot. I'm sorry, not GoBot, but preschool toy. They look maybe a 3 to 5 year old age range.
Right. Well, I think the thing about these, that's ages three and up. But what these look like to me is, I'm trying to think what these were called.
Chibi.
No, that's the aesthetic. I'm referring to the gimmick, because they're like the pull back and goes, like they got the little motor, you pull back, it winds up, and then it zooms across the floor. And then as it's going, it pops up and transforms.
Kind of like a battle charger.
That's what I was thinking, trying to think of. It's basically like battle chargers, only they taken the aesthetic to more of the kiddie range, which would be good. I wouldn't mind them revisiting that concept, but actually, leaving them, like the G1 toys where they fit in with the rest of the line. But yeah, they kind of kiddified the battle chargers. That's what they look like.
Yeah. Then we had the Robo Fighters, Bumblebee, Prime, Starscream, and Ironhide. They're basically non-transforming action gimmick figures.
These are just the power bots.
Yeah,
from
basically
the previous line.
Just repackaged with the Dark of the Moon sticker.
Now, there was one more release, because I don't know if the club didn't have it or it was at the beginning and we skipped it. But something else that showed up was the Supreme Class Optimus Prime with trailer.
I did not see an image of that. So
you didn't see any images of that?
I have not seen any images of that.
I see. I sent you a couple links.
Like I said, there's been such a glut of information this weekend. Just seeing all the pictures that there are to see, it's hard to come across.
There's one link. I'll send you another one here since I find it. There's a better picture out there.
TFW's website is just very it doesn't seem as well organized as I would like it to be.
I'm sure they'll straighten it up. Most of this is just like a glut of information. They're just getting it up. They'll organize it later. And here's another. This one has that one has.
Okay,
the
link that you sent me is just a. Just
should
a page
like
with random images on it. Okay.
Yeah. Down at the bottom, you see it kind of looks like a butterfly.
Far right corner.
Yes, far right corner. I think the next page has a couple more. Yeah, that's the combined mode, and the next page has the plain robot mode, or just the truck, and then the truck and trailer together. But there's better images.
Kind of looks freaky.
Well, that's not a good image because of the way they got the wings folded out. The second link I sent you has better images in it. It's the ones that were taken like at the booth. So that he looks a little better in those. Those are like those official photoshopped images. You got the first link.
Yeah.
So we get to see him. If you look at click that other link, you get to see him in combined mode and then an in-package mode. Then a couple more shots of the combined mode. And I think there may be a truck mode picture in there eventually.
Yeah, there's one here next. Let's see. Yeah, the combined mode doesn't look that bad, to be honest.
Yeah, once those wings are down.
I could deal without all the funky wings, but I think you could kind of fold them back if you really
right. Yeah, because I think that first picture, they were all spread out like a butterfly, and these images have them more down and sticking out the side, and it looks a little better. I think he's supposed to fly, though. I think that's why he has wings.
Yeah. The truck mode looks pretty cool. I'm really digging the trailer. I wish that the rims of the wheels actually were silver like an actual truck. I'm kind of wondering if the Japanese version of this will have more chrome or silver paint on him.
Yeah, it'll have more paint apps because they tend to. It's U.S. They have to kind of save some money. But yeah, I'd be surprised if it doesn't have more paint apps on the Japanese version. But
Go ahead.
Well, the Buster Prime, how we talk about Great Revenge of the Fallen Prime was. Buster Prime was the same thing, but was chrome and silver paint. And it looked fantastic, but it was expensive. So I just stuck with the one here because, again, you start getting up to $40, $50 toys domestically. You're looking at $80, $90, $100 import. Yeah. And for a few paint apps, it wasn't worth that much of a price difference to me. And it'll be the same way with this. I can, I got some silver, metallic silver Sharpies. I can paint those wheels if I have to.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of wondering if the Revenge of the Fallen Leader Class Prime will work with the Dark of the Moon trailer.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I was hoping to have a better picture of the alt mode in this group of pictures to kind of see how big it is. Because it looks like he may be a little smaller. I mean, that truck looks like it may be only Voyager or a little bigger as far as the cab part. And, you know, the biggest part of the cost with him being an $80 toy is that trailer because it's so much bigger than the truck.
Yeah. It's possible.
But hey, maybe if he's a Voyager, he'll work with the Battle Blades Brad.
Oh,
if it's a Voyager size tractor.
Never thought of
that. Buy it for the trailer and put it on Battle Blades. Oh, there was one more news story. We got to cover this. I just saw it as I was clicking through here. Probably something else you didn't see with the glutton of news. I will let you lead this because I want to hear your reaction if this is your first time seeing it. Just kind of scroll down quickly to the pictures.
Oh, good Lord.
It's the it wasn't the reaction I expected because that wasn't the same one I had. Yeah.
Well, they don't look as bad as the
built to rule
or built to suck as we used to call them. Mm-hmm. they actually look pretty good compared to those.
My only concern is because something I couldn't find any information on as far as on any of the stories I read. They look cooler than the built to rule, but the biggest problem I had with built to rule was that they were parts formers, which I know they're Legos, but you want to kind of build it. The idea of a transformer one is that they design it with the joints that and the hinges so that you can transform it from one to the other just straight up. And I don't know if this is a parts former like the built to rule where you have to build it as a robot, then tear it down and build it as a truck. But if it's actually able, I mean, it looks like it's got plenty of hinge joints and things, you know, if it can actually transform, then I really like this concept. But if it ends up being, you know, take it apart and put it back together, not so much. But yeah, one of the things interesting is the name. They're competing with Lego, and they tried it with the built to rule, didn't work too good. So they're giving it another go with the blocks that are compatible with Lego blocks. You know, they don't say Lego, they say it'll compete. You know, they'll work with competitors' blocks, they'll all build together.
They interact, yeah.
Yeah, and they're what gets me is what they're naming them. Is, you know, instead of Legos, they're Kreos, K-R-E-O. My first thought was, okay, when they came up with the name, were they watching Stargate? Jaffa Kree, you know, Kreos, you know, it's like, okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't get the name at all. I don't get what the K-R-E is supposed to stand for, what it's supposed to mean, other than, you know, attention in Jaffa. But, yeah, otherwise, the name's kind of strange.
You know, it's interesting looking at these Kreos here that they kind of – they have – they're obviously the movie characters, but they have an aura of G1 to them. Look at Bumblebee's face. Look mm-hmm. at Starscream's face and shoulders.
Look at Prime's head.
Yeah. They maintain a very – it's like they took G1 aesthetic – or a movie aesthetic, and gave it to some G1 characters.
Well, I don't know if you noticed the full gallery at the bottom, because they got the large pictures there. If you scroll down to the bottom with the full gallery, you get to see they have the Prime. Looks like he comes with a trailer that folds out to a base. And I think the most interesting to me is, you know, like Lego has their little minifigs that a lot of people like to collect. These are coming with their own little minifigs, and they look like the G1 characters. You have a Bumblebee, a Prime, and a Starscream that come with the respective block sets.
Yeah.
And those, I think, especially the Prime one, that looks really cool to me. It's like it even looks like it's got the same type of head with the hat that goes on, but the hat is like the robot helmet. It slides down over the little round Lego-type head. And they even have the same little 3-millimeter clip hands, which should be really fun to mess with all the new toys we've been getting. I don't know if Dark of the Moon will have those 3-millimeter clip system weapons, but a lot of the newer toys have the little 3-millimeter clips on the weapons with the little 3-millimeter bars all over the toy that you can clip them on. Well, now you can let these little Creo minifigs ride on your other toys in alt mode. Well, they can just hang onto the bars.
Look at the alt mode for Starscream. It's almost like he's more of an F-15 than a Raptor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Starscream appears to be G1 based, where Prime and Bumblebee look to be movie based with G1 heads.
Yeah. Yeah, Bumblebee's clearly a Camaro on here, and then Prime is a movie Prime with the trailer, but then they go with Starscream, who goes more of the F-15 aesthetic, and then
his robot mode actually kind of favors the Transformers Prime robot mode more so than G1 even.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of looking at the pylons on the shoulders and the and the head
and the red and the chest
and the air vent nipples.
Yeah, these look really cool. I mean, again, if they turn out to be actually transformable and not have to like disassemble, reassemble, like built to rule, if they actually design these to be transformable, I'm digging them. You know, I may pick up at least one set of these. I'll probably pick up the Optimus Prime one just because it does look cool in robot mode. So if it turns out to be a parts former, I'll just leave it in robot mode. But I'm going to pick them up just to check them out because they look pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not so much of a Lego fan as I used to be whenever I was little. I'll probably pass on these. But they do look pretty interesting. They look a lot more interesting than the Built-A-Sucks. I mean, Built-A-Rules.
Yeah. I just hope they release the minifigs individually, like Lego has started doing now, where they're, releasing just the minifig packs. Because those have been really popular.
Well, see here, be different price points for these as well. The $7.99 basics, $9.99 Mirage and Prowl, $14.99 for Prowl, $19.99 for Ratchet Sideswipe, $24.99 for Bumblebee. And a red alert. And also you have a 29 price point for Megatron and Starscream. And then $39.99 price point for Sentinel Prime. And then $59.99 for Optimus Prime, Blue Streak, and Skywarp, and two humans.
I think that those are the Kreons. Because you notice the Kreons are what they're calling their little minifigs.
Yeah.
Because you get your Kreos with your Kreons. Just like when you mentioned Bumblebee with Red Alert, it's Bumblebee who comes with a Bumblebee and Red Alert Kreon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a Red Alert Kreon. And then when you get down to the Optimus Prime, he comes with five Kreons, which is Prime, Blue Streak, Skywarp, and two humans. Those are just the little minifigs that Prime comes with. They're not releasing a Blue Streak at the $59.99 price point. But what I think ain't strange about this is it's more about the piece counts. $7.99 has 65 to 70 pieces. This is a lot better than what you'll get with Lego. Lego kits, their kits that are around $8 don't have maybe 20, 25 pieces,
yeah.
If that. You start getting $9.99 for Mirage and Prowl, which has approximately 100 pieces. 100 piece Lego sets are usually $15 to $20. I mean, they're surprisingly expensive for what they are. And so I'm kind of pleasantly surprised to see these prices for the Kreons.
Yeah.
Or the Kreons.
That is a good sign. I mean, I know the Halo sets, the Halo Legos sets. I wanted to pick up a Scorpion tank, but it was like $50 or $60, and I'm like, no, I really don't want to pay that much for one. And it didn't look nearly as complex or as had as many pieces as these.
Yeah, I think when you get into like Halo and Star Wars with the Legos, they get even more expensive because they have the licensing fees they have to pay. Because obviously Lego has to pay.
Well, I mean, look at Transformers, they have a license fee.
Well, but these are made in-house by Hasbro, so they really don't have a licensing fee because they're making them themselves, which could explain why the cost is so much cheaper, which is a good move. Because I think the Built-A-Rules, that's kind of what they did is they went out of house with it. They kind of contracted it out to a company to try to compete with Lego. But they didn't go with Lego because they're a direct competitor. They kind of licensed them out. And so you had the licensing fees on top of trying to keep the parts counts and to hit the price points. And I think that really hurt them. I think going in-house with this, these should turn out better. And they look better from what we can see so far.
Yeah, I agree. But like I mentioned before, though, the questions that we had that are now answered, like the Sentinel Prime, we figured out who that character is, or we think we have. We was wondering what kind of new characters were going to be in the movie. Did you just send me something?
I sure did. Okay, one more news story.
Oh, yes. We'll mention that here at the tail end here. Because it's not entirely Transformer related, although it is somewhat.
It is, but it isn't.
It's really cool. We also found out the names for the NASCAR characters. So, and we also figured out what the name of, we'd seen the attack helicopter in stolen prototype images, and now we know it's named Skyhammer. So that's what I referred to as some questions have been answered.
Mm-hmm.
But the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive for 2011, can anyone say awesome?
Yes, this is what I alluded to earlier with the Human Alliance when I said, you know, could Hasbro be testing the waters of a crossover with giving us something in that size class that would be perfect for a crossover line? And they're testing the waters even further. I think this is going to be the Joe exclusive because they have a Joe exclusive every year and they have a Transformers exclusive. So this, there still may be something else as far as Transformers go for an exclusive. But their G.I. Joe exclusive this year is the Sky Striker painted up as G1 Starscream. And he comes with a Cobra Commander pilot who has a Walther P-38 Megatron gun to hold. Yeah, this right here, I saw this. I had to change my pants.
Yeah. I had the Sky Striker when I was little, and the toy is really big. I mean, I'd say in jet mode, well, as a jet, the jet is probably about 2.5. I'd say about 2.5 feet long,
because
You got to figure it's in scale with the 3¾-inch Joe figures.
And it's not so, perfectly in scale because the cockpit is overly large.
For well, yeah, I mean, it's got to be in scale enough that it
that they can fit those in them.
Yeah, that you can fit the figures in there. It's really cool that they're releasing something like this.
I got a feeling it's going to be hard to get a hold of. SDCC exclusives, you know, I'm not even sure what it's like trying to get them at the show, but they always put them on Hasbro. Well,
Blaster was pretty easy to get a hold of.
Yeah, he was, but there was debacles with the Alternators Nemesis Prime. I think they made plenty of the Classics Nemesis Primes, or I think maybe in Universe at that point, to go around. But from my understanding, on the Transformers end, yes, those have been relatively easy to get a hold of the last couple of years. They've made plenty. However, still, even like last year, the G.I. Joe and Star Wars exclusives were a nightmare to try to get. They, you know, people would have problems because the website would get so many hits that it would crash. You know, people were having to constantly hit refresh and, you know, page didn't want to load. And then when they finally would manage to get one in the cart and go to try to check out, it would sell out before they could get it. And this being the Joe exclusive and now attracting Transformers collectors in there too, it's going to be worse. So this one might end up being a little difficult to get a hold of.
Yeah. If I can get a hold of one for a decent price, I think I'll definitely pick this up. Even though I really don't have a whole lot of room to display it, I want it. I want it badly. Yeah. I'm not a huge Joe fan, even though I do have a Cobra Rattler and a Hiss Tank. Those were my favorite vehicles from the original G.I. Joe cartoon. But I also was pretty partial to the Sky Striker as well, since I had one as a kid. It was one of the few Joe toys that I had. And to have that toy again with a Transformer homage, definitely must
well,
have.
And what's really awesome is that Chris Latta did the voice of Starscream and Cobra Commander, and you're getting both those figures here together. I'm like you. This is something I really want. If I can just log on to Hasbro Toy Shop and order one, and it's not overly expensive, and I've got the money at the time, I'll buy one. If it ends up being a hassle and a headache trying to get on the website, or I'm not going to sit here in front of the computer all day, take a day off work, you know, I'll try to log on and get it. If I can't, I'm just going to go on to work. And if it's, you know, sold out when I get home, then oh well. But if I can just log on and order it, I will buy it. Yes. But I'm not going to, you know, try to knock old ladies, you know, with their walkers to the ground to get to it. you know, I mean, as much as I would love to have it, I just don't feel like fighting that mess. Yes. And if it ends up selling out and skyrocketing on a secondhand market, then I'll just never own one.
Only thing that would make this cooler is if they had, if that Sky Striker, if they had modified it heavily to where it would actually transform. I know it don't, but I mean, it would be really cool if they could.
They would just make a whole new toy to do that. But hey,
yeah.
Human Alliance goes well with this new price point. It takes off. If they decide to give us a crossover line, it could happen.
It's possible. Well, it's been a really long podcast, but we had a whole lot of information to go over, especially with the New York Toy Fair. I kind of debated on whether or not to just do a regular podcast like we did before in our first recording, and then do the supplemental with just the New York Toy Fair. And then I remembered, well, our original discussion before the Toy Fair actually went kind of long as well. And since we just cut that out and put Toy Fair in its place, why not just go with this? So
right, yeah, because it might have been different if the other recording hadn't got lost, to where we could just sit down tonight and do a shorter Toy Fair only recording. But since we had to re-record because the other one, decided to kill out on us, it just, you know, doing two podcasts would have been a bit even longer than this. So basically, this is our episode 14 as well as Toy Fair Supplemental squished into one.
Yes, but kind of makes you wonder what our BotCon editions are going to be like.
I'm thinking we're going to record in the room because we're, as of right now, I now have secured the funds. Priest sold my toys. Guy's already, paid, so I can register with that. He's, putting in a little extra so I can, put toward my plane ticket. And I have the funds. I'm just waiting to actually order the plane ticket for registration to go up. So I'm going to be there. I'll take my laptop and my microphone headset. So, we may just record from the hotel room and, try to. And then,
I'm thinking maybe what we can do, I'll take my laptop as well. And by then I can have a new power cord for it. And we can do, two people at one time, you can interview somebody and I can interview somebody, what have you.
Right. But,
that's still quite a ways away, so we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But that brings us to a close of another episode of Geek Existence Transformers. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. Check us out again on Twitter. Follow us on there at Geek Existence or twitter.com/Geek Existence. And again, send us your listener questions. We'd love to hear from you. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone, and see you next week.
See you next week.
This has been Geek Existence Transformers, a GeekExistence.com presentation. Check out our other podcasts, Geek Existence Gaming for the gaming geek in you, and Geek Existence Science and Tech for your sci-fi, science, and tech interests. Both are available on iTunes as well as our website. You can interact with us by visiting our forums on our website at GeekExistence.com/forums, or by following us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekexistence. Search for us on Facebook and send us a friend request. We'd also love to hear from you via email. Our address is geekexistence@gmail.com. Your hosts for this episode were Weird Wolf 1975 and Insane Galvatron. No hamsters or squirrels were harmed in the making of this podcast. Oh, my God.